for the moment, just as you stand, I continue to be curious about what effect the ATM, which I've told you it'll be bending right and left, but what effect it'll have on the ease or lightness of lifting one arm and lifting the other arm. So lift each arm independently, and yesterday as you were lifting each arm, I was drawing your attention to any lengthening, right? Our students very often think of lengthening as something just going upward, right? But therefore shortening is going downward. But actually, you know, many of us shorten kind of in the place that our colleague there by the window was talking about this morning, around the ribs. And so there's a shortening in the waist or in the ribs. It pulls downward, but it also pulls upward. That kind of, it can't lift the leg off the ground, but it can keep it from really lengthening down to the ground through the heel. So that was yesterday's investigation. And, you know, today there's some traces maybe of yesterday or something yet different. Okay, and just stand a moment. There are many other interesting relations of lifting the arms. So as you stand, just construct some image of the clavicles in the front, the shoulder blades somewhere there, kind of, you know, the top of the shoulder blade is actually, it's not in the back, is it? The arms hanging from there, the feeling through the large vertebra at the base of the neck, so either that would be what, some upper thoracic or two, or the lowest cervical. And somehow, to your satisfaction or not, you have your head more or less balanced, comfortably, less comfortably, who knows. But lift one arm and listen to what? If you don't follow the hand with your eye, what does it feel like at some point at the base of the neck? In the armpit, which would be kind of the relation of the shoulder blade to the lower, to the upper ribs, under the clavicle. That's not necessarily instead of through the leg, but it's more primary, right? So you still can listen to your support, but and you could listen with a very just into the to the most basic question of where do things get heavy, and if they get heavy, do they also get a little knicked somewhere in the neck, on the left side, the right side, the front, the back, right? So I'm not asking for this, an analysis. On the right side my clavicle rotates upward, on the left it does not, right? If that occurs to you, fine, but or simply enough, which arm can go lighter and further without something happening, like some disturbance, like your head has to adjust in a way that's not light, easy, and immediate. Or maybe it's even you feel it in the throat, not even in the parts I mentioned. Okay. Good. And there's something you're in the middle of. Continue, and otherwise, please lie on your back. You know, so I said it takes a lot of discipline to attention, and it takes a lot of disciplined attention to really have choice. So maybe instead of disciplined, because some of us have a very bad association with the word discipline, you could say dedicated. Right? It takes dedicated attention, or it takes dedicating attention to. It's an act of decision. I dedicate some attention to. on the one hand. And on the other hand, as we heard this morning, wonderful things happen when your attention is on something else, like just hanging around on your sofa at night. And all of a sudden you find that without any dedication of attention, you begin to notice something interesting about your heels. Or that you've crossed your legs without any dedicated attention. So it's both. It's the balance of both. And feel free to bring an arm, one arm at a time if you'd like, eventually two arms over your head, just to keep track of the distinctions of what you find in standing and what you find with the floor behind you. And what did we listen for the parts that change contact below the shoulder blades, both the parts that leave and the parts that lean or press more, including whether if you find that more space is created, especially if you bring both arms up, you still have the chest lifts and you have more space in the waist or the lower ribs. Does your pelvis tip a little bit as if going the other way down towards the base of the tailbone or the back of the sitting bones down below? Where are those darn sitting bones when you're lying on your back? We'll get there. Okay. Good. Leave that, please. And please stand both feet comfortably. And with your right hand, reach over the top of your head and place it on the left side of your head, somewhere on the temple. Somewhere on the temple. And begin to, in very easy movements, use that arm. So the hand holds the head. And begin to do whatever is required at the moment, what's necessary at the shoulder to be comfortable. But you begin to draw your head without turning it, to the right. Let's see, to the right. And the first thing to notice is whether your attention is mostly at the hand, or do you have any attention to your elbow? Is there a difference if you give attention to the pathway of your elbow through space, or if you just give attention to your hand on your head? It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. That could be that when your attention is just on the hand and the head, that you do something that just bends your neck. But the minute you also have attention on the elbow, that this begins to speak more clearly to not just the neck, but the spine below your throat and the nose. As you don't turn your head, so the nose really stays. So the hand, your hand is not behind your head. The hand is over the arm is over the top of the head, so that the head stays on the floor there, and it's going to be easier to. Yes. No, just sliding with the nose to the ceiling. So you're always looking at the ceiling, not rolling. So we would call that side bending or tilting. And the question is where do you feel the bending, if not just in the neck? Okay, leave it, please. Just leave it. Mm-hmm. And of course, bend your knees again. Place your right hand where you had it, over the top of your arm, over the top of your head. But now take your left hand and place it on the fingers of the right hand. And with the two hands like this, you now have the right hand pulling and the right hand pushing. But listen to the journey, listen to the path of the two elbows in space now. And if it's possible, have the two elbows back towards the floor rather than forward. And with the tension on the elbows, how does that begin to? So careful that your head doesn't roll to the left. So really careful that you, the whole ATM is an investigation. An investigation in really side bending. Mm-hmm. Really that the nose doesn't turn to the right, doesn't turn to the left. And how do you start? You can have a tension on the elbows, but do you still start with pulling with the hand? Can it be very simultaneous that it's the hand and the elbows and the top of the head and which... And are the elbows, is the bending speaking to your waist, to the lumbar, or are the elbows moving in such a way that they're speaking to really to the chest? Because the trajectory, the journey, the path of the right elbow to the right, is it to the right and far away from yourself, or to the right and fairly close to yourself, as if you want to make a very narrow kind of arc? It's different, isn't it? You can really choose. There you go. Now the lumbars are quiet. Feels different. Does it feel different to you now, would you say? Before you were doing quite a bit here. Now it's higher up. Yeah? And it's really just in the pathway of the... Good, leave that and rest again. If we find more side bending in these upper and middle thoracics, what difference will that make to the shoulder girdle, to the support of the head? Or even to the ability of the shoulders to drop back. So just feel how each shoulder is, or which parts of your ribs in the back are in relation to the floor. And then please put both feet standing. And now just put your left hand on the left temple. So the left hand is on the left temple, and the right hand is down in the direction of your heel someplace alongside your trunk. And you guide. So now the left hand is on the left temple, not on the right temple, on the left temple. The left hand is on the left temple for pushing your head. Yep. And you lengthen downward with the right arm. And push a little bit with the left hand, but in a way that you don't roll the head. Not rolling. So the head has to slide. The head has to slide. And you see now the reaching of the right hand is really close to you, isn't it? It's close to you. So close to you. I mean, it is you. It's close to your trunk, which means that it's an opportunity for finding the upper ribs. But the left hand also, so the head follows, not by rolling. The head follows not by rolling. And if you have sticky hair or sticky mat, then put your left hand behind your head. So now that we could do it like that, right? Put your left hand behind your head and this might be easier to slide your head to the right to follow the arm. But now, are you remembering that you don't have only the neck, but you have a neck. Does the ear go towards the shoulder? Can you distribute it? So the right hand slides down, it speaks to the upper thoracics, but that doesn't mean that the neck doesn't bend, it just bends in proportion to the vertebrae that are below. In proportion. Okay, leave it and rest. And bend both knees. And with the right hand, take the left temple, as before, and extend your left arm upward to lie on the floor above. And with the right arm, the right elbow, you bend to the right and use the left arm. How can the left arm help you here? Is it just lengthening, or is it also, so the left arm is up, the left arm is up by the head, and you can use it now, can lengthen, but maybe is it just lengthening, or is it in a way that the left arm actually begins to go with the head over to the right? So it can get dragged a little bit, but also it can follow, and it's as if the side bend takes the arm, but there's a way in which the left arm, can speak to those upper ribs. So play with the directions, with the... it accompanies the chest, but it also attempts to direct the chest softly. Softly, easily, so that the direction of the left arm has something to do. The two arms speak to the spine below the clavicles, speak to the spine between the shoulder blades in the armpits. The two arms, one by lengthening and bending to the right, the other by shortening and bending to the right. And you still have vertebrae in your neck, and they can respond so that side of your head can go in the direction of the shoulder, but in proportion. And leave it. Lengthen your legs. Find how it is to lie. The two sides, compare them. There were a number of other reference movements that we could have put forward. One of them would have been rolling your head. So roll your head left and right, and just see if one direction is lighter than it is usually. You have a rich reference library inside of you of yourself, relating to yourself, myself in the past. A rich reference library of hopes and fears of the future too, but we'll go in the the history files. So how does this compare to usually, not just how much, but the quality, and also perhaps a resonance that you feel below the head itself. And leave that, please, and come to stand just for a brief moment to use standing as a way of, or as a place of perhaps finding some differences. In the standing itself, first, and the standing, of course, has which shoulders did we work with? Well, both, but just in one particular direction. Does it show up in any way? Feel free to lift each arm. And you can lift and then with questions in relation to your leg underneath, or with questions of, can the arm with its, whatever it is that an arm needs to lift without disturbing? One heavy, one light, is that it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one's light for you? Well, I can see which one's heavy. The left one's heavy.
Very heavy.
The right one's light. Somebody might have the opposite. God knows what these... Yeah. All right. Lie on your back. And when you lie, have your knees bent. And with your left hand, take the right temple, and of course begin to, without power and slow continuous movement, you slide your head to the left. And it may be that already you're listening not just to the left elbow and the left hand and how the neck and the upper chest begin to respond, but do you feel any murmurs through the right shoulder? Is there something already slightly ready, is there an impulse that if you don't hold that right arm or the right shoulder, that it might appear to be ready or even doing something? But is it going forward? Would it be a going forward, or would it be a, what would that right shoulder do? Well, what does it do when you put the palm of the right hand on the back of the left hand and begin to push with a slightly push, and push is too big a word. What does the shoulder do? What does the right shoulder do? Does it let it hang back as much as you can? So that means, you know, position your hand in a way that the right elbow can be closer to the floor, or close to the floor as possible. And now with the left elbow being directed through space and the right elbow, and can you speak to different levels of your ribcage? You direct the elbows in the ears and the top of the head in such a way that you actively listen for, like, wow, this part of the spine behind the breastbone, yikes, no matter what I do, goes like a, like an I don't know what. So it's with the knees bent. And then keep your right hand on your head and just lengthen your left arm downward. And if you lengthen downward, keeping the left arm where it's possible, close to your trunk, and find out, does it make a difference which way the left hand is turned? Well, the left arm, it's really not just the hand. Does that shoulder know how to go downward without coming forward? Can you really distinguish whether it can slide downward? So the fingertips of the left hand and the tip of the right elbow. And you still have, it's not rolling, it's sliding. So if it's too difficult for you to slide your head by pushing it from the right. No, it's the left hand is down and the right hand stays where it is. That's it, yeah? The right hand is, no, on the right side of your head. That's it. So you're always going to the left. That's fine. I'm glad you're too close for me to notice you. Is that something? Glad you spoke up. Maybe so, yeah. But if it's too hard for you to slide your head, then just put your right hand behind your head and slide the back of your hand. Maybe that's more slidey. But and by the way, how about your legs? Check around the groins. Can it stay soft in all the inside of the leg from that ridge of bone from the pubis to the sitting bones? The adductors, can they stay soft? All around the side of the hip joint, the back. And yet the knees can stay more or less still. Great. And then what else can you do? If you need to have a rest, take a rest. But if not, then put your right arm long above your head, your right arm long, and take with your left hand, the right side of your head. So yet another way of... So the left hand will take the right side of your head. The right arm is long up. And you listen that you move your chest, but what room is there for that right arm to travel with the chest because of the pull of the left arm, but also do something a little independent and lengthen or travel over to the left so that it also invites by lengthening some of those ribs. And can the belly stay soft? The feet on the floor, the tongue in the mouth, the eyeballs in their sockets, the lungs in the chest. Lovely. Okay. Which finger? Does it make a difference which finger you pull on? Gavi used to say, with each different finger, you can reach different ribs. But what is it if you think of the index finger? Does it change which way the elbow goes? Does the elbow go to the side to your mat? If the elbow could really go in an arc that it could touch you somewhere, that's something totally ridiculous and impossible. But where would that be? Would it touch you on the outside of the left heel? Would it touch you on the outside of the left side of the pelvis? Would it touch the floor someplace in between? You can choose it. Are you remembering the vertebrae that are in the back of your in the back of your throat? If you do, you'll find that your right ear, that's lovely, your right ear, the tilt of your head will be slightly different. The right ear will get interested in the inside of the right elbow. Always possible to have more distinctions or as have a rest. It says in 1ATM, where intelligence is involved, there's no end to improvement. And again, you can roll your head, you can whatever you'd like, or just gently lengthen one arm a little bit downward and then the other arm downward. See what independence the structures, right? So the more differentiated or independent these parts are, the more flow there can be. The more like a snake. Imagine if a snake could only move in three places, it would be kind of like ooh, 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 right? But it's just moving in all those places. It's a slithery, sinewy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, please lie on your stomach. And your nose is unfortunately down to the floor for it. So you're somehow on the forehead. Spread your legs comfortably just so they're not held together. And with the left hand, lean on the floor as if for like a push-up. Yeah, the left hand. So lie on the belly, lie on the stomach. Left hand is like with the elbow in the air, like for pushing. And with the right hand from over the top of your head, take hold of the left temple. And with that left hand, take the head and the shoulders lightly to the right. Don't turn, do not roll. Yeah, the left hand is for pushing up. The forehead is on the floor. And the left hand is over the top of your head. It's going to be a lot easier if it's over the top of your head rather than behind your head, over the top of your head. And holds the left side of, the hand is on the left side, the right hand is on the left side of your head. But the arm is, the forearm is over the top of the head. And a number of times you just find, oh my goodness, it was so lovely for many of you doing this side bending on the back. So what the heck happens once you go on the front? So the left hand leans on the floor and you can push it in such a way that allows the shoulders to move without the nose being distressed. So, any places that you've fixed to the floor, like legs or belly? And you actually don't turn the head. You don't turn the head, so you're not looking to the right. Now, you understand that the left hand is a support, but does that have to fix the shoulder, or can the left shoulder actually help you go to the right? Which way would the left shoulder go to help you go to the right? Okay. Good. Now, just change over your hands and examine going to the left. Where could that right hand be? How could it act so that the right shoulder, if you're bending rather than just, where are you bending? Do you find that you're going way out to the edge of your mat, or can you direct that at left elbow? You direct the left elbow fairly close to make a smaller arc, a flatter arc, towards your pelvis rather than towards your neighbor. And how can you use that right shoulder? And we're used in that position to lift the shoulder, but are we used to taking it a little bit? How can it go? Which way? Upward? Upward? How would you have to stand the hand? Where would you have to stand the hand that right shoulder can go upward and then to the left? So it makes an arc as well. Oh. Yeah. Something to consider. Leave that and lie on your back and rest. You won't be working on the belly anymore, so. roll your head from side to side. And with dedication, examine whether there's sensation in somewhere in the midline of yourself. Either you sense it from behind or from somewhere inside the chest or somewhere in the front. Leave that, please, and come to stand on your left knee and the right foot. So you kneel on the left knee and you stand on the right foot. So the whole story moves into having to find support. So how will support be organized or not? How much does the I have to do? What does the I have to know so that it can organize the support? And there's another one of these ATMs where he gives the perfect clue, which is great. So, place your left hand on the right temple. And a few times, just as you did on the floor, your right hand can hang or it can rest on the leg or whatever. Whatever is possible. What you might want to do is actually come a little bit forward so your foot can be on the floor, even though your knee is like that. I think that's just a bit more, given that that's the only foot you've got on the floor, you want it to be really stable. And again, the trajectory of the elbow through space. How big is the arc? If you had a chalk on that elbow, or if you had a stick on that elbow that could touch the floor, where would you touch the floor? And see if you can find a way to move yourself and get the kind of stick that would move closer and closer to yourself. The movement can be really, really small. And now place your left hand on the back of your right hand. So the hand is really on the temple, not on top of the head, but on the temple. Mm-hmm. And continue going to the left. And do you use more the left knee or the right foot for support? Do you lift the right sitting bone or do you let it drop? And how about the left knee? What if you lengthened it into the floor? What would it be like if you lengthened the left knee into the floor? And all the areas of the groin on either side of the pubic bone, that's the hint he gives us. If you let those muscles on the inside of the thighs be soft, the support will organize by itself. Can you still find how to bend in the chest? The groins. Let the small pelvis be. You need it now. You need it. Okay. Lie down and rest. Oh, actually, don't. Sorry. Stay there. Bring the right arm to the ceiling. Right arm to the ceiling. And lengthen it. What? Do you lengthen it to the ceiling or do you take it over to the left with you? But it invites a possibility to lengthen, to keep the right side long. Okay, now leave it and rest on your back. Thank you. And yes, return to your knees with the left knee kneeling and the right foot on the floor. And then change it to the left foot on the floor, kneeling on the right knee. And the right hand goes to the left temple. And what are you going to do? Where are you going to put your attention? Hip joint. Hip joint, good place. Anybody else? Where's your attention?
Balance.
Sorry?
Balance. Gleichgewicht.
Yeah, balance. But where? Where in your body? Your balance. Yeah, balance is an issue. But where are you going to put your attention so that balance becomes less of an issue? What would be useful? So we have one hand there. Hip joint. Which hip joint? The right hip joint. Okay. Okay. Right hip joint for her.
The sole of the left foot.
Okay. How about the left sitting bone? Where is that there? The whole left hip joint too. Maybe we can do one hip joint. Can we do both? How about anybody lengthening? Anybody finding that lengthening the right knee towards the floor is helpful? As if you're standing on it? Yeah. Okay. Can we pass that clue on to you?
Yes.
How about the length of the spine from the tailbone all the way up through, a length that bends? It will organize. And then lastly, the softening of the muscles. I'm just going to put this here in case you want to quickly catch yourself. Okay, why not? Mm-hmm. Having something that will save you will make it, even if you don't use it, will make you feel safer, right? Sure, it will make you feel safer. All kinds of factors contribute. And then the left hand goes in addition to the right. Yeah, we're going to the right. And what's happening? Are you still able to, are you doing a lot more with your pelvis? Are you shifting in the lower back? Or can you still find the delicacy up through the left ribs in the armpit, the right ribs in the armpit, the base of your neck, the neck itself? Yeah, see, but you can catch yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And then lift your left arm to the ceiling. Lift your left arm to the ceiling. If you're moving too fast, you stay with the variations that work for you, okay? But keep lengthening. Now, when you lengthen the knee down to the floor, and then you feel the right hip joint, you're fine. Just keep breathing. And imagine that you already have that lovely balance. Imagine the left foot, the right knee, the left sitting bone dropping down. That'll help the foot. And if for those for whom it's easy and possible. And can you keep your weight kind of on both the right knee and the left foot without shifting much to either the left or the right? What's the difference between dropping the left hip joint and sitting down into it? Ugh. And remembering you still have some neck vertebra. And lie on your back and rest. It's more the knee there, that's the, yeah. Was not really interested to be, yeah.
The other was no problem.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one more time, and one last time, come to half kneeling, this time again with the right foot and the left knee. So, what is it? Right foot and left knee. And which way, when you were kneeling like this, which way did you bend? To the left or to the right? Remember? To the right. To the left or to the right? Which way did you bend?
To the left.
Yeah, before. To the left. Yeah. So now put your right hand over and lean to the right. Put your... You're doing... No, we have the right foot and the left knee. So that's easier for you anyway. Yes. That's why I didn't look. That's fine. No, don't worry. Don't worry when it's difficult. When it's difficult, we even hear differently. So no worries. And you let the left arm hang down. And you bend to the right. And now listen how you use the right sitting bone and the left knee. And here, extend the left arm to the ceiling and continue the same movement. So you have, see if you get, you have the fingertips of the left hand and the left knee. And you have the right elbow. And you have the right ear and the left ear. And you have to compose them without falling. And hopefully deriving some pleasure, or at least interest. And the two sides of the pubic bone, the two inner thighs, it's lighter and softer. And see if you're, are you fixing your eyes to get balance? Okay, leave that. Pause a moment. You can. And then come to the right knee and left foot in reality or in imagination. As you wish. You can take some support, see if that's enough. And it's the left hand on the right side of the head, and a number of times just with the right arm hanging, but you can listen in the right armpit nonetheless. And what happens here? Do you lift the left side of the pelvis? Like if you were sitting, you might lift that, right? The whole be kind of a global side bending. And you drop the left side, the left sitting bone, just let it drop to the ground. Lengthen through the heel. And remember that you have, that your head also exists behind the ear. Are you really? You remember that you have head behind the ear, on both sides, by the way. Does that shift how you experience the side bending? Anytime you can bring the right arm upward. Mm-hmm. The head is a globe. The head is not the face. Sometimes when we're faced with finding balance, it's like there's a forwardness because somehow there's the safety of, if I'm going to fall, let me at least fall forward where I can see what I'm falling into, where I can catch myself with my hands. But you wouldn't fall backward here, if anything. I guess you'd fall sideways. But I'm here to catch you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent. Lie on your back. Feel how it is on the floor now. Is it on the floor now? What is the dedication when you're working and side bending, it's to to make sure you're not turning or that you're not going forward. So you're actually busy on all the planes of action so that you can really act more and more clearly in one of them. But you have to weed out the others. Oh, am I going forward? Am I going back? Am I turning? So you're very busy in all the planes of action.
The feeling now in me, if all my cells are activated.
Oh, your cells are activated. I hope that's a good feeling.
From the top to
the bottom, yeah.
To the bottom.
Is that a good feeling?
Very good.
It's kind of an aliveness, isn't it? Yeah. It's an aliveness. Roll your head from one direction to another, or in one direction to another. Note if any surprises are there to meet you when you look inside. And if you are listening to your pelvis, where are you listening? If you're not, and I mention it, where do you listen? In the contact in the back? In the ilia, just below the waist? Close to the spine or wide? Or what if you add it into wherever you're listening, to listen on the inside of the thighs, so from the pubic bone, the ridge that goes along the inside of the thigh and gets wider as it goes back to become the base of the bottom of the sitting bones. That's where the balance action is. It's really all along the small pelvis, which we'll have a chance to look at today. And the hip joints themselves are at the most outer edge of that small pelvis. So what if we shift our attention just a little bit more inward to the inner edges, inner bound territories of the small pelvis? That's where the spine connects to the sacrum. That's where the sacrum connects to the pelvis. It's where the pelvis connects to the legs. It's really where weight comes down to be distributed left or right. It's where support comes up. All right. And as you are with your legs long, bring one arm up just to compare to former times. Not such long ago former times, but former times nonetheless. And it might be that if you feel... It's not just that you can find different relationships, but that you even listen to yourself differently. It might be that you're finding yourself listening from the heels to the fingertips, not just what's happening in the back, but that I think it's the sense of wholeness that people can feel after ATMs that without them being able to express it keeps them coming back, if they come back. And I think that's also why people tend to return more often if you can hook them into a workshop, because that sense of wholeness is stronger or more possible, not even stronger, just more possible. Right? It's really, really a hard habit to break, this seeing myself as a number of parts that somehow don't match together. Rather than a whole that might have some disturbances in some of its parts, but is a whole. And anything you'd like to try from just the sliding of the head, you know, left and right, any of those variations, after you have investigated them, having at the same time to construct balance for yourself, how are they when all you have to do is overcome a little bit of friction with the back of your head? It's a small task compared to organizing support. So you can put one hand overhead and take your head to one side and one arm long above, or just slide your head side to side without even any hands directing And of course, then you can also leave your head without sliding it left and right, with the two arms long down, and just lengthen one a little bit, lengthen the other one a little bit, and just find out whether underneath your head, maybe your head will roll a little bit, maybe it'll kind of do a funny kind of shift left and right. But the question there is, can you feel something through the area just behind and below the clavicles? So make the movement smaller and smaller. So the question would be, it's like with the smallest movement, is there already a willing, are there already willing companions? And just in case there's some easy relationship that does not require a big movement, listen between the legs to that ridge of bone. And then, of course, eventually you'll stand up in your own way. And yes, you can lift one arm, lift the other arm, lift both, or shift your weight to compare to. Your memories of yourself. And the interesting question is, of course, what happens when the arms are hanging down and they're not lengthening upward to encourage a lengthening through one side or the other side of the spine? Is there any feeling that it's the spine that supports the ribs, and somehow the ribs can hang from the spine and then the shoulders can hang from the ribs? Maybe not yet, but maybe yes. And you can also, of course, in standing, just slightly tilt your head. Don't think about taking it really far to the side. Just take the top of your head, let's say to the right, and let the chin tilt to the left. The smallest movement in the highest vertebra. Most of the weight of the head, anyway, is at the top, above the cheekbones, above the eyebrows, behind the eyebrows, where the brain is, right? The brain, and it's behind, but it's above. And can, for such a small displacement of weight at the top, there's already organized support. And what does it have to do, if anything, with this place narrow between your legs? And how does that, if you listen to that narrow place between your legs, and then also listen to the heels, where in the heels do you get support? Do you go so far to the outside of the heels? Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Mm-hmm. If you bring your feet a little bit closer, then that will make a difference, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Because now, actually, when you brought your feet closer, When you take your head to the left, you shift to the right. But when your feet are wider, see if you can put them wider again in the weather. When your feet are wider and you tilt your head to the left, you actually have to shift your weight to the left. Yeah. See? So I don't even have to tell you, shift your weight here or there. Just put your legs closer and the whole thing organizes differently. Great. Do anything that you'd like. To continue living and into a break. Anything you'd like to explore there?
I'm standing more at the heels than I am used to.
You're standing more in the heels than you're used to. And of course, again, you have demonstrated in your own experience to yourself and to the rest of us the basic principle of the action of the brain. It looks for balance in a more complicated situation with knots, you know, a little bit of angst, a little bit of unclarity, and boom, you stand up and the brain goes, well, in that case, this is so easy. I can do it even better than I did before, right? Maybe that's a principle of learning, not a principle of the method. It's a principle of the brain, not of the Feldenkrais method, huh?